This morning we're going to be partaking in the Lord's Supper. Typically in Baptist churches, we don't take that on a weekly basis. In fact, many of our churches take it on a quarterly basis. Some of our churches take it annually. But I think it's so important that when we take the Lord's Supper, we remind ourselves of what this is all about. There's a description of the Last Supper in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's account is a little bit different. Not that there's problematic with it, but that's where you find the story of it. But we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So the Apostle Paul has received from the Lord, which is what he says, the instructions for taking the Lord's Supper, or sometimes we call it communion. And I want to read for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, 'This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner or an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat the bread and drink the cup." So how should we view the Lord's Supper? How should we view communion? And I think there's at least three directions by which we should look when we look to partake in the Lord's Supper. Number one, we look within. Verse number 28 says, "So a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat the bread and drink from the cup." And in terms of an inward search, what would we say to the Lord? Well, I think Psalm 139, 23, and 24 sum it up well. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the everlasting way." If I were to describe to you the heart, I think, of communion is that connection with God. It's that point at which we respond to God and say, "God, look at my heart. I am publicly, visually, in a very concrete way, I'm receiving your body and your blood. God, is my heart, is my life, am I connected to you?" We look within, but we also look back. Verses number 24 and 25, he said, "He gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Do this in remembrance of me. Now, there's all kinds of groups that look differently at the Lord's Supper. Imagine if you were a Jewish person and you're looking at the Lord's Supper. The Jewish person who doesn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, they continue to receive the Passover, that meal that the Israelites had before they left Egypt, because they are hoping someday that Messiah is going to fulfill that Passover meal. For the Christians, when they look at it, that Passover meal now transformed into the Lord's Supper meal. And for us that are Christians, we look back to that night when Jesus instituted this, and it becomes pretty amazing because this is the thing that Jesus says that we should do to remember him. It's the single thing that Jesus says that we should do to remember him. We look within, we look back, and we look forward. Look at verse number 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Proclaiming his death till he comes. For the outsider looking in, what are y'all doing? We're proclaiming the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, "He who testifies about these things, yes, I am coming quickly." The Lord is coming, and those of us who have a relationship with him, we take this cup looking forward to what he's going to do. So why communion? Why do we take communion? Why is it important? Well, we take it as followers of Christ, first of all, in obedience. In verse number 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord, which I passed on to you." So the Lord had shared with this the apostle, and the apostle then shares it with all of us. And it's important that we obey. It's important that we participate. At whatever rate regularity our church or the fellowship, if you don't belong to this church, takes it, it's something that we do in obedience to him. But secondly, it's something that we do to remember Christ's death. You think about it. When we come to Easter, our focus is on the resurrection of Jesus. When we go to Christmas, we're focused on the birth of Jesus. But really, in the Lord's Supper, it's kind of all combined. We're thinking about his incarnation, what it meant for him to be on this earth and be a man. We remember and we think about the fact that he sacrificially gave his soul for us, that he resurrected and he was coming again. And all of that is encompassed in the Lord's Supper. So over the past couple of weeks, as I've been preparing and thinking through this, I've been asking myself, about how long has it been since we've been participating in the Lord's Supper? Well, you know, based on the way that we do our calendar, we call it after death, AD, BC, before Christ, and then after Christ, that AD. So it's been 2021 or so years that we've been participating in the Lord's Supper. But if you look back in time, it could have been as many as over 3,000 years that the Jewish people have been looking back to Passover, still looking for the Messiah. And I wonder for them what it's going to take, what it will be for them to accept the Messiah for who he is and Jesus for who he is. It says in that verse of scripture in verses 23 through 25, in remembering Christ's death, it talks about an old covenant, which is the Passover. And then it talks about this new covenant. And this new covenant, if you want to think about it this way, was ratified once Christ was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again. But I like the last part of that. Why should we participate in the Lord's Supper? To proclaim, to proclaim, to proclaim, to proclaim. I think it's interesting how things all worked out in terms of our calendar, that today was the day before Vacation Bible School that we talked about proclaiming Christ's birth. This week, we're going to proclaim to every child that's here the message of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's our hope and prayer that we're going to see a number of children come to faith in Jesus Christ this week. And I'm committing, our staff is committing, that every child that makes a decision, we're going to make a contact with that family and say, could we come and visit with you about the decision that your child has made to give their life to Jesus Christ? And it's our hope and our prayer that many of these parents say, you know what, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I want to ask Jesus into my heart. And next Sunday, we are praying that it would be an opportunity for us to see all kinds of baptisms take place in this church as we see the kingdom of God grow as a result of people giving their life to Christ. Amen. So this afternoon at 2:00 over in the fellowship hall, I'm going to be giving each one of these teachers a way to share the gospel. Now, it's probably difficult. It'll be easier for those of you who are online to see this, but I have a little book. And this little book has no words. It literally is a wordless book made of colors. The outside is green. You've got a dark page, a red page, a white page, and a gold page. And through this little story, we're going to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to every boy and girl that comes to Vacation Bible School, because what is our church about? Seeing people come to faith in Jesus, making them disciples, changing their eternal destiny from heaven to hell. And that's what this week is going to be about. And whenever you're doing something that intentional, the enemy fights. And what we want to do is to pray God's protection, God's peace, God's calm over all of this. So let me ask you this morning, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you've not come to the point in your life where you've said, Jesus, I know that I have sinned and that sin has separated me from you. And there's no way, Lord, that I can enter into heaven on my own. God, I accept your sacrificial death, your shed blood that makes me white as snow. If you've not come to that point of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to do that. I want to tell you that to participate in the Lord's Supper means that you have done what I have described. If you've not done that, you can do that even now. But we're going to have an opportunity at the end of the service for you to give your life to Jesus Christ if you've not yet done that. We hope and we pray that God might bless, God might work, God might move in Vacation Bible School in an extraordinary way. And next week, if I have my pick, all of us, all of the staff will be up here and we'll be baptizing. Somebody said, but we don't have enough waiters. I told them, that's fine. I'll baptize just like Jesus. I'll just go in my clothes. It'll be fine. But would not that be an extraordinary way to conclude Vacation Bible School and seeing a number of children, their families, maybe some of you who've given your life to Jesus Christ and have not ever stopped to say, you know what, I need to make a public profession of my faith. Amen. That's what the Lord's Supper is literally all about. And so following my prayer, our deacons are going to come and they're going to take their place. And it's going to look, for those of you who have not seen this done before, this seems very ceremonial kind of thing. Do they have to do it just like this? Do they have to wear suits? Do they have to do this? No, not necessarily. But each one of these men, as I visited with them in their deacon's meeting, said, this is how we want to present ourselves in serving such a significant memorial as this. Again, during my prayer, if you are gluten-free and you would like to receive the gluten-free elements, you can do that right at the back. You can pick those up. We will be giving to you the elements in the prepackaged form. We want to be careful in terms of being as sanitary as we possibly can. So the bread and the cup will be together. And I will give you instructions after you get that. But as I pray, let's use this as that moment in which we are in that time of just saying, God, search my heart, know my heart, prepare me as I prepare to take the Lord's Supper. Will you join me as we pray? Father, what an incredible honor is ours this morning to remember you, to reflect on your death, your burial, and your resurrection. To reflect on the amazing gift of salvation that we have in you. So, Father, as we identify with you, may it not just be a word identification, a mental identification, but may it be an action identification, that our lives, what we do, how we act, reflect you. Father, may we obediently, God, take the Lord's Supper. God, in great remembrance and with great proclamation, may we take the Lord's Supper today. Guide us, Father. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.